I haven't used a slide for a while. You guys might, I'm like, oh, we're going back to slides. Just one slide has all the verses. Now, I don't know if I'll cover all those verses, but you can write them down and go check them out later. Last week during our service, we were having another really awesome time in the Lord, and he was doing things in different people's lives and inspiring them to come up and give testimonies. And I really had, you know, plans for the service. I had ideas, you know. Brother Cody shared a verse today that man can have all these plans in their head, all these ideas, but it's really the counsel of the Lord that's going to prevail. And what that means is that that's the way of success, is God's way. How many of you know that? How many of you have tried to do things on your own way, and it's failed? Anybody? I think everybody could raise their hand on that one. Amen to that. But I think it was about like the second, third song in. Maybe it was the first song. We were singing a song about the goodness of God. And all of a sudden I saw people coming up and just, you know, briefly saying, I thought briefly. That might have been my work there. It's like, we'll keep it brief. That way it'll get done quick. But saying how good God was. And so then we went to the next song. I'm like, oh, I missed that moment, you know. And so I thought, okay, well, that was the moment. I don't need to have them come up now because the songs. But then a different song came up. And how many of you know that, you know, the Lord will keep knocking on our hearts? He'll keep, you know, pursuing us. He'll keep coming after us because he really desires to have true relationship with us. And he did. He said, okay, you need to have them come up and give testimonies, because how many of you know that we do not know what happens in others' hearts when we say something, when we give a testimony of maybe a breakthrough that we've received, or maybe it's just an understanding of God's love, and someone else hears it and they go, oh my goodness, God loves me. And nobody had to point their finger. They're just hearing somebody else say, I've realized that God loves me. Without conditions, he loves me. I don't have to try to earn his love. I don't have to try to, you know, make him love me. He loves me. And someone says that, and someone else in the back goes, oh, he does love me. And they get the revelation. So we don't know. There was probably 10 people that shared last week. And how many of you who didn't share but heard testimonies were touched by the testimonies last week? I was. Okay, well, praise God. Well, I used a scripture, I quoted it, of the reason why the service kind of went the way, and I said, God desires obedience over sacrifice. I must be obedient. So today, I want to give you kind of a reason why I use that scripture, and I think the Lord is going to reveal some more things, even to me, in the truth of really what's being said here. We're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 1. Samuel also said to Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and do not spare them, but kill both man and woman. Now, this sounds really rough, folks, so get ready for this. Both kill man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. Ouch. So Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and lay in wait in the valley. Then Saul said to the Kenites, go depart, get down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them, for you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul attacked the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is east of Egypt. He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them. But everything despised and worthless that they utterly destroyed. Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. Samuel was the one who anointed Saul king. So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed he set up a monument for himself. And he has gone on around, passed by, and gone down to Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. But Samuel said, What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said to Saul, Be quiet, and I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And he said to him, Speak on. So Samuel said, When you were little, in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, But I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of the Amalekite. King of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. So Samuel said, Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is of the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. Wow, that's a lot. So let me recap, because sometimes reading that much, it's like, what did he say? Who was this? This is Saul. He is king of Israel, and he is given instructions by Samuel, who is a prophet of the Lord, to go and do a mission. This mission is to go to the Amalekites. How many remember the story when Moses was raising up his hands and he couldn't hold up his hands and kept dropping them down, and Aaron and Hur had to come and hold his hands up during a battle? And because he was able to hold his hands up, who prevailed over the Amalekites? Joshua and the army of Israel. So this is referring to when those Amalekites came and attacked Israel a long time ago. And God's saying, I want you to go do this. So he tells them to go wipe them all out. Now, I know some of you may say, well, that's not very nice. that's, you know, God's a loving God. Well, God is a loving God, but he's also a just God. And he is getting justice right here at this moment. And he's told Saul to go and utterly destroy them all. So Saul's listening to Samuel. Okay. And he goes. And along the way, he says, oh, I got an idea. I'm going to make this even better for God. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to go ahead and destroy everybody like I'm told to, but I'm going to keep all the best stuff for God. We're going to sacrifice to God. He's going to get all these wonderful sacrifices. And we'll even capture the king and we'll have God tell us what he wants us to do with him. He gets these ideas in his head. How many of you ever have ideas? You're going to bless God. You're gonna do it a greater way than what you thought God wanted you to do. So anyway, so this is what happens. They're sitting there and they're waiting for have Samuel come so they can start these sacrifices. He's the priest, and all of a sudden Samuel's got bad news. And Saul's blown away. He's literally going, what's going on here? I don't get it. I mean, we destroyed them. We destroyed them all. In his eyes, he did, because that was already sacrificed. These animals, these great animals, were already going to be sacrificed to God. So in his eyes, they're already destroyed. In his eyes. This king, they're going to do something bad with him, but, you know, let's find out exactly what we can do to him, you know, because he's the ringleader of this whole group. Man, I can see how Saul worked this stuff out in his head, can't you? He's going to do one better than what God told him to do. I mean, as a matter of fact, Saul says here, "But I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalekite, and I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites." Now, I'm going to get transparent here for a moment, because this word obey, you know, when we were a kid, you better obey your mom and dad. I mean, I use that with Timothy and not so much with Stephen anymore, but, you know. But, you know, the word obey, it's like, you know, you want them to do something, you told them, right? And they go and they do something else, and, you know, you get frustrated, you get mad. But what is the root of this obey? I think this is going to be a key, because we've been talking about knowing the Lord lately. We've been talking about actually having intimacy with him. We talk about hearing his heartbeat, hearing his thoughts, what he wants, his kingdom come, his will be done. This is the root of obey, folks. This is the root of obey, having relationship. Listen, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? This word obey actually could be translated heard or hearkened. So now we're getting a little bit more root. Did he really hear what God was saying? Did he really know God's heart? I would submit that he didn't know God's heart. Because if he would have known God's heart, he would have done exactly what God had told him to do. Now, I'm going to get a little transparent here. I have a habit of looking, especially at my wife, and she's telling me something to do. And I'm catching like 90% of it. She's smiling and laughing already. And as a matter of fact, the other day, I'll give you a story. We're driving in the car, which is probably a mistake to be telling me to do something then, but she's giving me this big list of things to do, and I'm repeating back key words, you know, so I think I've got it down. And it was basically, we had to wash our bathroom mats because they get nasty. They get really nasty. But she also said something about the shower curtain upstairs, and she said, put it on. So I thought she meant put on the shower curtain. So she comes home, and I think I picked her up from work, and I'm bringing her back, and I told her, I said, "Honey, I did those mats." No, you were still there. I said, "I did those mats, and I'll put on the shower curtain." "Wait a minute, what, did you do the shower curtain?" I said, "You didn't hear me." And I said, no, I did hear you. I got the mats all clean there." And it's like, it just lost its goldenness to her, because I really didn't hear. I think that's kind of what Saul did. Now, granted, what he did caused his kingdom to be torn from him. He was no longer king of Israel after that. Yeah, he was king for a little while, but it wasn't too much longer. David was anointed king after him because of his heart. See, we think that we have this Christian thing all figured out. We do. We think, yeah, if you come to church so many Sundays a month, or you pray your Bible, and you pray, read your Bible, you do all those things, you kind of lay it all out just right, and you're good. Is that what it really says? To me, that would sound like doing things. That would sound like almost sacrificial effort or offerings. You know, yes, I know it builds us up. Now, I'm not, again, folks, I'm not saying we don't go to church. You know, that's what we do. That's what I do. I mean, I want folks to come and receive from the Lord. But it's not your coming to church that God's just seeking. It's not just your reading your Bible that God is seeking. It's not just your prayer time that God is seeking. It's not just going to coffee with brothers and sisters in Christ or having them over to... That's just surface. Those would be like offerings. Let's go to here. Mark 4, 23, 25. I know, I'm out of order. Jesus is speaking now. Listen to this. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has to him, more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Now this is interesting, because Jesus is using the word hear. How many people are hearing today? Lots of us are hearing. I'm hearing. But how many of us are really hearing? How many of us are hearing this message and saying, wow, this means I must need to do something in my life to change. Wow, this means that I need to go and change something in the way that I do things to show God that I truly am hearing. In other words, with what measure, or with what response you put into what you hear, more is going to be given to you. Some people say, well, I don't want more responsibility. Oh, I don't want more accountability. I don't want it where I have more put on me. How many know that we can't cop out on God? It does not work. You can't pretend, what was that, sir? I didn't hear. That's not going to work with God. Huh? That's not going to work with God. Huh? He knows our hearts. He knows we heard. He knows if we obeyed or not. But listen to this. Let me put this a little bit different. If anyone has ears to obey, oh, let him hear. Let him obey. Anyone who has ears to obey, let him obey. Then he said to them, take heed what you obey. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who obey, more will be given. See, in other words, we don't need to just hear things. We need to hear and then respond. Reminds me of not to be just hearers of the word, but doers. See, if Saul would have done what he had heard, or if he would listen with his heart, or listen with the spirit to receive, not a stubbornness, not a rebellion. Notice that God, through Samuel, says, this is rebellion. This is as a sin of witchcraft. Folks, do you know that in just the day before Saul's life ended, he went to a witch? See, obedience is the doorway to witchcraft. I mean, disobedience is the... to my wife. Disobedience is the doorway to witchcraft. Disobedience is the doorway to witchcraft. It truly is. Because it leads to rebellion, and rebellion leads to witchcraft. Somebody say, I'm not going to be a witch. I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say, Lord, keep my heart pure to where I can be obedient to your word. Keep my heart pure so I can hear what you're saying. Keep my heart pure so I can truly be changed and transformed into the character of Christ, to where I don't have to worry about getting into witchcraft, because it isn't even in my heart. But disobedience after disobedience after disobedience leads to rebellion, which leads to witchcraft. Now, don't go out and tell your friends, my pastor's saying I'm going to become a witch. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm telling you that if we do not change our ways, then there are basically, I should say, for lack of a better term, you're setting a stage to go a certain direction. Yeah. You can't help it. You know? It's like someone who has problems with drugs, and they're saved, and then they come out of those drugs, say that they were addicted to heroin, and you know, maybe they didn't drink, but they were addicted to heroin, and so they get saved, and you know, and they're free. God freed them. Yet they start hanging around with liberal brothers and sisters in Christ who say, hey, it's okay to have a drink because, you know, you're free from heroin. You're never going to go back to that. But they open the door to the heroin with the drink. Why? Because it's a drug. It is a drug. I have literally been stoned on drinking because my mind couldn't think right. I was cloudy. I mean, you know, this is before I was saved, folks. This wasn't last night, okay? This is when I was 19 years old. When, what's that? Good to know, yeah. I tend to, like, forget key phrases, and my wife, she helps me, so. Like I said, if I can do this, anybody can, I'm telling you. Psalm 46. And Josh said, amen, brother. Looks at me and says, Pastor Mike, you give me hope. Okay, thank you. Psalm 46, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. He doesn't desire it, folks. Now, what are you saying, Pastor Mike? You mean he doesn't desire me to read my word? Only if you're reading your word to know him. If you're reading your word to chalk up something on your list of, I've accomplished this, my goal today, and now I'm righteous in God's sight, that's bogus. That's not the way it works. He wants our heart. He wants intimacy with us. That's what hearing him is all about. That's what knowing him is all about, is truly having the same mind, the framework that he has. And then we would never think that reading our Bible is going to make us righteous in his sight or make us some better Christian. I probably, most people in here, I probably read the Bible, but it doesn't, more than most of you now. Some of you may say, I have word for that. But I mean, I've read it a lot. But it does not make me any better than the person that just came into the kingdom today. Not one bit. Does it make me more responsible? Yes, sirree, it does. Does it make me more accountable to God? Yes, sirree, it does. But it makes me no better. If anything, it should make my heart say, I'm nothing. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Oh, here's a key. I love keys. He doesn't desire sacrifices and offering. He wants our ears to be opened. And it says he's opened them. So I believe that when we're saved, especially when we're saved, we have ears to hear. We just need to quit putting our fingers in our ears. Or la, 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 you know, turning on the radio when God starts to speak, you know. Oh, I need to call somebody. You know, it's like we run from the voice. Because the voice is trying to tell us to do things that maybe we don't like. And we cause all this noise to happen so that we don't hear God. And we think, again, huh? We think we fooled him. We're not fooling him. He knows we're playing a game. He still loves us. But so many Christians have so much noise in their life today that we don't even know what he's saying. Me included. Most of the time. We need to be honest. We need to be real so we can be changed and quit playing this game. To where we truly live lives that are devotions to him. They're not lives that are some kind of process. They're devotion. We're devoted to who he is. That we literally cry when he cries. We laugh when he laughs. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Boy, how do we get it so messed up? How about Hosea 6:6? If I've got the right scripture. Is the word speaking today? Good. Yeah, right here. For I desire mercy and not sacrifice. There's that heart of compassion. And the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. There's that knowing. That's what he desires. Everything that we do, whether it's talk to our neighbor about Christ or read the word or go feed the hungry should be out of an intimacy with Christ. Not because it's something to do, because it's something to connect with Him more. See, when we go and, you know, we talk to our neighbor and it's about Christ, then Jesus is filling us. Because we're declaring His goodness. And we're experiencing, hopefully, a deeper walk with Him. When we're reading our Word and we're learning about Him, I know 1 Chronicles can seem difficult to learn about Jesus. How many are on the 90-day challenge? Maybe through 1 Chronicles, praise God, right? Or Leviticus, some of you still, I just got through Leviticus, praise God. I mean, you know, there are scriptures just saying, I don't get how I'm supposed to see Jesus in this. Just believe that the Holy Spirit can take it and give you the truth. But even our 90-day challenge shouldn't be just because we're doing it. It needs to be because we love Jesus. We want to know Him more. So if some of you were, you know, reading your 90-day challenge and you did it just because Pastor Mike told you to, and, you know, you felt like I bent your arm and you did it out of what's called compulsion, then just say, Lord, help me do this now the rest of the way to know You more, to fall in love with You more, to have a deeper walk with You, closer, more intimate expression of my faith, God. Lord, I want a reality with You, Lord. I want something that's tangible because I know it can be tangible. It doesn't have to just be, you know, this floaty experience, you know, that, you know, I know God, you know, because He's up there somewhere. No, He's in our hearts. Holy Spirit's been given to us as a down payment of heaven. Now, I don't know about you, but if the Holy Spirit's in us to give us a down payment of heaven, then we should experience heaven here at times. Maybe not all the time, but I think we should experience more than we do. And I think the more closer we get to Jesus, the more we experience heaven here today in the now, the more we experience His power, the more we experience His peace, the more we experience His prosperity in our lives. His grace that just is showered on us would be received as a vessel that can just hold His grace. And you know, when you hold His grace, you hold His gifts. And you're fit and ready for use by the King. Is that not good news? You know what? If we would just stop for a moment, I think as Zeke said, just stop for a minute. I was thinking, just a minute, Zeke? Is that all it takes? You know what? Sometimes I think it would only take 1 minute. If we truly said, Lord, I'm stopping. All of life. My phone, I'm turning it off. I'm going to a place where I can't even hear the TV. And I'm just listening to You. What do You have to say? And Lord, by the way, help me be obedient to what You tell me. And I bet we'd be transformed people. I bet they couldn't recognize us in jobs. They couldn't recognize us in our families if we truly did that. If we would just obey what the Holy Spirit told us to do, we would probably be world changers. And you wouldn't have to memorize the Bible. The Spirit of truth would start revealing all His truth to you. And when you do read the Word, it would illuminate off the pages. Amen. Amen. Some music. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Well, would you stand with me? What song do you have there? I surrender all. Okay. I didn't want to start singing another song and then I'd throw her off. But if you're like me and you realize that you need to know the Lord more, you need to hear and obey more, you need to listen to the Holy Spirit, you need to take time out of your busy schedule and just let Him be God in your life, then just extend your hands with me, Lord, and just say, Lord Jesus, I surrender all. I surrender my ways. I surrender my plans. I surrender my own sacrifices and offerings to You. Lord, I just give you a heart that needs to be changed and transformed by you to truly be a Christian, Christ-like. I surrender all, Lord. All to Jesus we surrender today. All to Jesus we give. What little we have, we give. Help all of our hearts to remember, Lord, it's not sacrifices and offerings that you require, Lord, but it's ears that are open, a heart that's listening, and a heart that responds in obedience, that does what you ask us to do. It may be as simple as just stop giving your neighbor a bad time, or it may be something as a coworker that you just are so furious with because they got something you didn't. Or folks, the Holy Spirit's speaking to us all the time if we would just stop and listen. And as the more that we are obedient, the more he fills us with himself. We surrender all. We surrender all, Lord.
I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Jesus.
Surrender all to you, Lord. Now, if there's someone here today that knows they need to totally surrender everything, that they've been doing everything their way, not God's way. You've been fighting him tooth and nail. You keep so much noise in your life that you never have an opportunity to hear his voice. Then as we sing this one more verse, I want you to come up and just in that act, say, Lord, I surrender all. Maybe you've never even received Christ. Just say, as I walk up, Lord, I give you everything. I quit battling you. I quit fighting you. And I give you my heart. I give you my life. And help me be obedient, Lord, to what you call me to. Thank you, Jesus.
I surrender.
Yes, Lord. We surrender to you, God.
Surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. I surrender.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You who have ears, hear, listen, and obey. Not in a obedience that you need to earn his love, because he loves you with an everlasting love. But obey in such a way that you know his heart.
you know his ways, and you truly can become who you have been called to be. Amen. God bless you all. Have a good day. Nothing can separate.